Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development
new
today.
New data confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Get on me!
Whoa! I'm immune!
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
When I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness. But very few people get to see. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us.
In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
It's affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
When COVID hit, he became this target.
My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing. And he's held back.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
Be a faded rose from days gone by. And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
They're making our food out of people. Next thing they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You gotta tell them. You gotta tell them.
Promise, Tiger. I promise. I'll tell the exchange.
Tell everybody. Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them. Silent breed is people. We gotta stop them somehow.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a fading rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was a meeting? Take you to his mansion in the sky.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by?
Every little thing gonna be all right.
And remember, stay safe. Sane and sanitized.
And with that, I welcome you to day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And yes, it's a whole lot worse than you thought it was going to be. Here we are on day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve, and the world is not going to hell. Just the opposite. Hell is rushing up to meet us, and at an astonishing rate of speed, like a skyscraper that's been wired with explosives and set to detonate floor by floor. So is our world right now, coming apart at the seams. But for those of us who are Bible believers, and you know who you are, this is par for the course here in these last days. The Bible says this in Isaiah 28, verses 22 and 23. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we won't waste too much time with a look back review of events, because there is just so much happening right here, right now, that demands our attention. By this point, we all know about the COVID not concentration camps in Australia, but how about in Washington State here in America? Yeah, we got that on the table. How about financial giant Citibank telling all their unvaccinated employees and, full disclosure, Citibank is the company that brought me here from Colorado to Florida back in April of 2011. Citibank was my employer for the first 3 years that I lived here in the great free state of Florida. And Citibank announced over the weekend that by the end of this month, if you're a Citibank employee and you're not vaccinated, you are out of a job. How about this? UFOs pulling up alongside passenger jets filled with people in midair, and the UFOs are so close that the pilots capture it on their mobile device. Day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. It's going to blow your mind into a little million pieces. And then some. Join us as we fire up the Prophecy News Podcast and we compare it all to the scripture of truth that is found inside your King James Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for coming up on 300 people in the chat room and thousands listening around the world. People are interested in what's going on day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And for good reason, we should be interested. Habakkuk 1:5, behold ye among the heathen, regard, wonder marvelously. Why? For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe. Can I get an amen on that? For I will work a work in your days which you will not believe. Hello? Though it be told you. So, Father God, we come before you, and we ask you to work and move as only you can. We thank you for the ministry of Now the End Begins. We thank you, God, that we were able to send out 11,411 Bibles in 2021. We thank you, God, that we've been able to send out 2,500 Bibles in just the first week of 2022. God, I thank you for all the people who make NTEB possible. I'm very thankful for Harmon and Lori Ann and Jeanette. I'm thankful for the people who work over at the bookstore, BibleBeliever.com. And for the people who work here in the Mudflower Creative Studio that produces these podcasts, Bible studies, and that created the NTEB website. And I'm just grateful and thankful today to have this great team of people, that these shows wouldn't be possible without the team that we have. And I'm just so grateful today for my NTEB family. Everybody who listens, everybody who prays, everybody who supports this ministry, everybody who reads the articles, And 15,000 of you tune in every week to hear these programs that we do. And I thank you. I'm grateful. Rob today says, please pray for friends and family for salvation and for the many unspoken prayer requests. Chelsea has one. Lori Ann has one. Janet has one. A lot of unspoken prayer requests today. Charlton says, prayer for discussions of business equipment sale is ongoing. The potential buyers are believers. Amen. A prayer for Bishop Bawa in the Emmanuel Chapel Ministry in Zimbabwe. Shay Caster says, prayer request, they are putting my big sister into an assisted living home. She's the only one who tells me I love you. She's like my second mom since I was born. Well, you know what, Shay Caster? I'll tell you, I love you. And many, 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 many people here who know you and see you in the chat room, they love you too. And we will be praying for your sister as she deals with Alzheimer's. And I know it's heartbreaking for you, but hang in there. We love you. Agas says, prayer request, our heater is broken. We have three little kids. Please pray it gets fixed. Amen. We will pray. Jan Lacker says, my daughter is having serious symptoms after the vaccine. Appointment at 12:30. Please pray. Amen. San Juana, here is the latest email that I've received from Brother Hal. You have touched my heart in ways that I can't express. I am so grateful for your love and prayer and kindness. It's hard for me to talk. I am struggling, but God is sovereign, and he has me right where he wants me at this time. And he says, please thank Jeffrey for me. He's thanking us for praying for him. I will try and keep you posted, but it's hard for me to breathe. I am on a high-flow oxygen machine. Please pray for my wife, Sandy. She's a very strong woman. We've been praying for Hal. He's waiting for a lung transplant. He has COVID. They don't want to help him because he's not vaccinated. I want you to adopt Hal. And I want you, everybody who's listening in the chat room right now. Now, I know that this program has probably drawn in a lot of people who aren't saved. But for those of you who are saved, please, every day this week, take 30 seconds, get on your knees and pray for Hal. I want you to picture what you would want somebody to do for you. If you needed a lung transplant, they didn't want to give it to you because you didn't want to take the vaccine. And then while you're waiting, you catch COVID and now you're in the hospital. I want you to pray for Hal like you would want somebody to pray for you if that was you. And Brother Hal, if you're listening, hang in there. Anything we can do for you, you just reach out and let us know, and we'll do it. And in the meantime, we're lifting you up, brother. We love you. Hang in there. To the fight, brother, to the fight. Jacob Butterfield, please pray for a coworker that was forced to get the vaccine, had a horrible reaction. Gia Camino, his wife Kathy, praise report, feeling better and back to work from COVID. Thank you for your prayers. Karina is asking for prayers for financial bondage and a son who is not living in Christ. Rachel applied for a job today. She's been out of work over a month due to the vaccine. Please pray that if God wants her to have that job, that she would have it. Lord, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, God, we thank you that we are one of the only podcasts anywhere on the face of the earth that opens up each and every program by praying for other people, that opens up each and every program that we do asking you, Jesus Christ, to lead us and guide us. Nobody else does that. We do that because Jesus Christ is, he's more than just the Savior. He's our friend. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is everything that S.M. Lockridge said that he was. Jesus Christ was, he is, and is to come. So if you're struggling today, I want you to have hope as we go through this broadcast. This broadcast is going to make, for some of you, your ears are going to bleed. And if it was a video presentation, your eyes would be bleeding. We got some hardcore stuff to talk about. But while we talk about this, I want to read just a few lines of this scripture, because what we're talking about today is so explosive that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ or we'll be sucked into it. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Amen. Flight 777, here's the pre-trib rapture in John 14. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, we lift up Anetta to you today, listening in New Jersey, having kidney problems. And she told me yesterday that the doctor says her kidneys are failing, and it's not due to COVID. So we pray for Anetta today, that God would work and move in a mighty way. P. Barker says, please pray for me and my wife. We both have COVID for the second time. Still not getting the vaccine. Amen. Chrissy says, pray for comedian Bob Saget's family as he died after the booster. Yes, and we have that clip today. Pray for the Saget family. It's tragic. Annabelle, my daughter Vanity, accepted Jesus on Saturday. Me and my wife led her to the Lord. We have been praying for her in every podcast. Amen. That's some good news, Annabelle. Thank you so much. That is a praise report. Amen. It's good to see somebody from that really long list of souls to be saved got saved. Chrissy said, prayers for all the NTEB family and all in need of healing. I have been battling something for the past week. I tested negative, but I don't feel good. Please pray for the director of the bookstore, Megan, and her boyfriend, Greg. They both tested positive, and they've been sick for about 9 days. Please pray for both of them for salvation, and please pray for both of them for a healing from COVID. And Matt P. says, please pray for my Catholic friend, Chris. I missed the prayer request trying to sign in. Amen. We got you, brother. We got you. Heavenly Father, and amen, Lord, we just passed 300 in the chat room. Hopefully we can make it 350. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord, Lori Ann needs a special touch from you today. Please give it to her. Dina is rejoicing today that God is leading and guiding her in what may be a new ministry path for her. So many people, they come into these programs. They're part of the NTEB family. Jeanette is healing from her car accident. And we are a ragtag bunch of people. That's for sure. There's no doubt about that. I always say that the ministry of Now the End Begins is the ministry of the broken pieces. And every single one of us have a couple of scars and a couple of stains on our record. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? We are pushing forward. We are keeping our eyes on the prize is what we're doing. We are not looking backward. We are not allowing the devil to take our eyes off of the prize. We are pushing forward for the high calling of the mark of the high prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:14, 3:13, 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but, and you pay attention to this, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we come before you, and that's our heart today. That's our prayer today. Guest S says, please pray for my unspoken request, my lost friend Andrew, and a permanent job to open up for me. Praise report, I'm blessed with a contract assignment for now. Amen. Amen. The Lord knows how to take care of his people. In any dispensation, Psalm 37:25 is true. In any dispensation, Psalm 37:25 is true. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. If you're not saved today, I invite you to trust Jesus Christ. Maybe you're like Brother Mike Hensel, who was a shadow listener of our Bible studies and podcasts for over a year, until the one day he popped up in the chat room. He heard our call to get saved, and Mike Hensel reached out in the chat room and said, please pray for me, I want to get saved. Lifelong Roman Catholic, listening silently for a year to our Bible studies and podcasts and broadcasts and Sunday service. Roman Catholic through and through, just like I was. And what a testimony. And for a year, he heard me say things like, if you're not saved, we invite you to get saved. If you're not saved, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. So maybe you're like Brother Mike Hensel. Maybe you're one of our many shadow listeners. You need to get saved. We'll do anything to help you do that, but you've got to be convicted that you're a lost sinner who can't help themselves one solid bit, that there's nothing that you can do to earn favor with God. Doesn't matter how clean you live, doesn't matter how good you are. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace. Amen. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So if you're one of our shadow listeners, get saved. Take a moment now. People are praying. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're listening for sure, but you probably are. We invite you to get saved. And if you want to get saved, just reach out in the chat room. I'll stop the whole show. And I'll speak to you personally, because that's why we're here. We're not here to build buildings. We're here to see lost people get saved and saved people get on fire for God. That is the mission. That is the agenda of Now the End Begins. Somebody the other day called me a cult leader with a secret agenda. And guess what? They're partially correct. No, I'm not a cult leader, but I do have an agenda. There's no question about that. My agenda, if you're lost, is to do anything I can to help you get saved, to lead you to the Lord Jesus Christ, without whom there is no salvation. And if you're lost today, I'll do anything to help you get saved. I'll send you a Bible completely for free. I'll talk with you on the phone for as long as it takes. But if you're lost today, you need to get saved. This program today is not simply about titillating news and sensational headlines, even though it's a pretty sensational headline, if I say so myself. Day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Do you know that this podcast was born because of the start of 15 days to flatten the curve that just never ended? The Sunday service was created because of the 15 days to flatten the curve that never ended. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me, says God, every knee shall bow. Oh, we're talking about Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. How do you know that Jesus Christ is God? Well, Isaiah just told you. Romans 14:11. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ if we're saved. And if you're saved today, I invite you to come back to your first love. I invite you to get recharged here at Now the End Begins. We're kind of like a street preacher launching pad. And we have street preachers all over the world. And we have pastors all over the world that are part of the NTEB family. So, Father God, we come before you and we ask you to work and move as only you can. And we give you all the thanks and all the honor and all the glory. And Father God, all the many attacks that have come in the last 24 hours to me and to people connected with this show, I know that the devil is trying to stop whatever's going to happen today. When I see all these attacks, and there's been quite a few of them, I know, Father God, that what we're talking about today is very important and very vital. So we commit this time to you and ask you to work and move and bless. And Father God, if there's somebody lost here today listening, and I know there is, please have them reach out and ask how to get saved. And for those of us that are saved, revive us again in the midst of our years. Make it clear, make it plain. Write it on tables that they that run may read it. And Lord, we thank you, we praise you. For those of us battling COVID, please give us a healing. Help Hal, help Annetta, and everybody who needs it, Lord. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, everybody, welcome to the podcast. Coming up on 350 people in the chat room. I like to see that, about 1,000 or more people listening live and new people coming in every minute. And we're very, very glad that you're here. And we welcome you to day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Let's start with the most recent story. Yesterday evening, the world was stunned when comedian Bob Saget, he was in Orlando, just about 2 hours down the street from where I'm broadcasting right now. Bob Saget was in the midst of a nationwide comedy tour. And Bob Saget was in Florida for one of his dates. And they went in to check on him in his hotel. And shockingly, Bob Saget, who's 65 years old, was dead in his bed. Now, what could cause somebody who's 65 to spontaneously drop dead? Maybe he had a stroke. Maybe he had a heart attack. Maybe he had myocarditis. Maybe he had pericarditis. I don't know. Nobody knows what Bob Saget died from. But I know that this is what he said on his podcast 2 weeks ago.
So you're with a ton of family. You're with so much family, Jimmy.
We're a little weird like that.
Who are you with now? Who else is?
She's home. She's home with the little one. She's downstairs.
Oh, got it.
I'm up in the bedroom. Yeah.
I understand. You're not with the in-laws still. That was just to go see them to get COVID and then come back.
Yeah, exactly. It was my family that had the COVID. I had to miss the in-laws for the Thanksgiving because I had the COVID.
Oh, see, I'm reading notes wrong. Wow. I'm sorry. So you like your in-laws right now better than your own parents?
No, I got to dodge that bullet. Are you kidding me? I didn't have to go to their Thanksgiving.
Don't tell them you're on this podcast.
Fuck.
How old's the baby?
He just turned 7.
Oh, congratulations. That's a big baby. Yep. 7 months. Yeah, 7 months, you're saying.
Yep.
I pictured a 7-year-old in a diaper, and I really started to worry about your life.
I can't believe I'm on the phone. Dude, I love you. You stand up to some of the best.
Thanks, man. Well, when you feel better and you're not contagion, come see me. I'll be doing New York. I'll be doing the city. I'll be doing all around.
Wait for it.
Touring the whole country, trying to make people laugh.
Wait for it.
I just got my booster, so
I'm gonna keep it.
I don't know what that's worth because a new variant comes out every 10 minutes. But what the hell? I'm gonna go make people laugh. So you come see me, Jimmy. When you're not all contagion and dangerous, you come backstage. We'll take a picture from about 25 feet apart, because it sounds like you get it every 3 weeks.
Right? I'm getting it every quarter at this point. Man, I can't wait to see it. This will be awesome.
It'll be great. You say hi to me, man, and please get well soon, okay?
I appreciate it, man. Thanks. I really do appreciate the call. Thank you for looking out.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling, Jimmy.
So that's Bob Saget, world-famous comedian, and he played Danny on Full House. He was the host of America's Funniest Home Videos for quite some time. But on his podcast 3 weeks ago, he told one of his callers that, I just got boosted. Just got my booster, for whatever that's worth. Well, I think he knows what it's worth now. Bob Saget said, I just got my booster for whatever that's worth. Was it worth your life? Now, we don't know what Bob Saget died from. But we do know that his death was not expected. His death was sudden. And at the age of 65, to just spontaneously drop dead, his death is a tad suspicious. At least that's how I look at it. But there's a lot of weird things happening right now. There's a lot of crazy things happening right now. Last week we talked about mass formation psychosis, the phrase that's getting people banned on Twitter and YouTube.
Comes from basically European intellectual inquiry into what the heck happened in Germany in the 20s and 30s. you know, very intelligent, highly educated population, and they went barking mad. And how did that happen? The answer is mass formation psychosis. When you have a society that has become decoupled from each other and has free-floating anxiety and a sense that things don't make sense, we can't understand it, and then their attention gets focused by a leader or a series of events on one small point, just like hypnosis, they literally become hypnotized and can be led anywhere. And one of the aspects of that phenomena is the people that they identify as their leaders, the ones typically that come in and say, you have this pain and I can solve it for you. I and I alone, okay, can fix this problem for you. Okay, then they will lead, they will follow that person through. It doesn't matter whether they lie to him or whatever. The data are irrelevant. And furthermore, anybody who questions that narrative is to be immediately attacked. They are the other. This is central to mass formation psychosis. And this is what has happened. We had all those conditions. If you remember back before 2019, everybody was complaining, the world doesn't make sense, blah, blah, blah. And we're all isolated from each other. We're all on our little tools. We're not connected socially anymore, except through social media. And then this thing happened, and everybody focused on it. That is how mass formation psychosis happens, and that is what's happened here.
So there you have Dr. Robert Malone, one of the inventors of the mRNA vaccine. Yes, that Dr. Malone. And he's talking about something called mass formation psychosis. It's when you have a global stimulus that changes the way that your mind works. You want to have a really good example of the effects of mass formation psychosis here on day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve? How about this one?
Well, it's a teaching career that spans over 10 years. Cypher ISD confirming to us the identity of that teacher, saying she is 41-year-old Sarah Beam, who was most recently an English teacher at Cypress Falls High School. That English teacher now being charged with endangering a child.
A classroom feels to me like it should be an extension of my home.
That's Sarah Beam, Cypher ISD confirming the 41-year-old has been a Cypress Falls High School English teacher since 2011. The educator nowhere to be found earlier today. We were greeted at the front door by an unidentified woman, the conversation ending just after a few seconds.
Yeah, she's not home right now.
Okay. You know how I can get a hold of her?
No, I do not. I'm okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Cypher ISD police showed up just a few moments later. KPRC, the only TV station there, as they tried to make an arrest. They, too, left empty-handed, though. Court records say the 41-year-old pulled into the Pigeon Stadium drive-through testing site on Monday.
Here it is.
They go on to say a witness told police she was gathering information from drivers in line waiting to be tested when she came in contact with Beam, who, quote, confirmed that her son, who had tested positive for COVID, was in the trunk of her car.
Stop right there. 41-year-old teacher and a mother going to a COVID testing site, and she's so terrified that she puts her 13-year-old son in the trunk so that she's not going to be exposed to COVID. How's that for mass formation psychosis? Putting your kid in the trunk of your car as you drive to a COVID testing facility. How about this one?
New at 5, a science teacher from Long Island is in trouble with the law tonight. She's accused of giving the COVID vaccine to her son's teenage friend without permission from that teen's parents. And now authorities want to know why she did it. News 4's Paisley Chang has the exclusive video of what happened.
There you go, at-home vaccine.
At-home vaccine. That's how this video, obtained exclusively by News 4, starts. It ends with a woman giving a 17-year-old boy whose face we have obscured what is believed to be a shot of the COVID-19 vaccine. Police say they arrested 54-year-old Laura Russo for administering the shot from inside her Seacliff home.
It's a very, very curious situation.
Curious because Russo is not a medical professional and not authorized to administer vaccines. She's a science teacher at Herricks High School.
I think it's ridiculous. I would never, ever give a vaccine like in a living room. Like, that's unheard of.
It's Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah.
In the video, they mention it's a Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The FDA has reserved that for people 18 and up, not the only reason the 17-year-old shouldn't be getting it.
Besides being illegal, it's just not a smart thing to do. An authorized, licensed professional should be providing vaccines to know how to give them properly, to make sure if there's a complication that can be dealt with immediately and very efficiently. And
so there you have another great example of mass formation psychosis. You have mothers locking their kids in the trunk as they drive to the COVID testing facility. You have teachers who are spontaneously putting syringes into the arms of their students. How can all this be explained? Well, take a listen to this.
But maybe it's a glitch in the matrix.
Yes.
CEO Mark Zuckerberg introduced what he calls the metaverse.
It speaks a thousand words about the world we live in. Look around you. You see filters everywhere. Are we living far from reality?
Try to realize the truth. There is no spoon.
I'm amazed at their point of view about reality and about the human brain.
It altered people's thoughts. What is real? What is reality?
Even in my own life, just looking around and being like, oh my God, we're in the Matrix. I would literally think that.
Mr. Anderson.
It's sort of impossible to articulate how it's seeped into our minds and culture. I can't even remember not having seen it. I can't remember my life before the world of the Matrix.
What you know you can't explain, but you feel it.
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is?
The Matrix as an idea has lasted 20 years. People use terminology like, are you going to take the red pill?
You're either going to take that blue pill or you're going to take the red.
Everything entered pop culture and stayed. We say a glitch in the Matrix, the fact that that's part of the lexicon.
Oh, deja vu.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, he appears to have gone a bit crazy this.
So there you have a little clip from Jason A. talking about a glitch in the Matrix. But is it really just all a Hollywood fantasy? Are we really just imagining that these things are going on? You might be tempted to think that. Have you ever heard of something called the Commons Project? The Commons Project is making something called the Smart Health Card Verifier app. Quickly scan a smart health card to confirm COVID-19 vaccination using the Verifier app. Smart Health Card Verifier is the free service brought to you by the Commons Project Foundation. Built on standards from Smart Health IT and powered by Affinity, the Smart Health Card Verifier app allows you to scan a smart health... What are we talking about? We're talking about the Smart Health Card Verifier app from the Commons Project. You mean you haven't heard about it? You're going to.
For the COVID-19 era, we need a safer and more secure way for all of us to travel and cross borders. Common Pass, an initiative of the Commons Project Foundation, aims to get the world moving again in a safer way by allowing you to securely document and share your COVID-19 vaccination and test status while keeping your health information private. You can use the Common Pass app directly or other approved third-party apps that are part of the Common Trust network. With Common Pass, you can learn the latest entry requirements of your destination, as well as certified Common Trust network providers, where you can get required COVID-19 tests or vaccinations. Common Pass allows for additional screening requirements, such as multiple tests or vaccination records. Once you complete your destination's entry requirements, Common Pass generates a secure QR code for you to show at check-in, boarding and or passport control for land, sea, and air travel.
What a great
Common
invention!
Pass and the Common Trust Network are non-profit initiatives that facilitate safer travel by enabling you to control and share your verified COVID-19 status in a privacy-preserving manner with governments, airlines, trains, ships, hotels, and others. For more information, see commonpass.org.
There it is. If you think your life would be made better by the Common Pass, go to commonpass.org and find out how you can get it. It's available now. You can download. Let me just do a little commercial for the Common Pass. Simply download the Smart Health Card Verifier app from the Apple or Google Play Store, and it's ready to use without any need to log in. Use the camera within the app to scan Smart Health Card QR codes, and one of the three results will appear. Makes you want to go out and get it, doesn't it? What a blessing! The Commons Project. These people are everywhere. And if you think what they're pushing is the vaccine, let's just put the brakes on for a second. If you think what they're pushing is the vaccine, you're wrong. You're wrong. They are not pushing the vaccine. They are pushing the health passport. That's what they're pushing. Remember we told you a year ago that the vaccine was not made for the virus, but the virus was made for the vaccine? Remember we told you that? And I'm going to give you a clip in just a minute to prove that. I told you we had some heavy-hitting stuff today. The vaccine was not made for the virus. The virus was made for the vaccine. But the end game is not the vaccine. The end game is the vaccination digital immunity health passport. Whether it's from the Commons Project, or whether it's from a company called Talis. Take a listen to how they're going to improve your life in this new post-COVID world that we have all been thrust into. Take a listen to this.
Hello, everyone. Meet Lucy, student in psychology. And me.
Hey, Lucy.
Her digital ID wallet issued by the government to offer a wide range of identity services.
Thanks,
in
government.
In fact, I'm a handy way of proving and protecting her identity, both online and face-to-face. Let's have a closer look at what I can do. I can help governments to better communicate with citizens. Right now, I'm reminding Lucy of the appointment she needs to schedule for her mandatory vaccination. Time to go to her exam. Lucy is a bit stressed out. I'm here to make it easy for her to prove she is the right candidate, with a quick and secure connection between her phone and the examiner's. Exam passed successfully. Quick stop at the doctor's before celebrating, and no time to lose. On the way, Lucy uses me to declare her passport lost. She needs it for her upcoming road trip. No issue. She can request an emergency digital passport without having to go to the authority office. I make official admin a lot smoother. And that's not all. I can also help Lucy request a birth certificate, pay her taxes, or prove who she is when onboarding to new services, such as opening a bank account. I allow Lucy to certify her health care coverage entitlement.
Let's stop that clip right there. Did you hear what the guy said? The narrator who's playing the part of her digital ID wallet? I allow Lucy. Do you hear what that commercial just... And that's a real commercial, by the way. I'm not playing any parody today. This is not Babylon B. This is Babylon. And we're giving you the real deal. Now, do you see what that clip said? I allow Lucy to do all these things. You see, the New World Order, they always tip their hand, they always tip their hat. They get so excited with themselves that they can't help it. But they gotta just say, yeah, take a look at this. And they rub it in your face. Revelation 13:16 says, and he causes all, not some, not most, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free. This is how you know that there's a pre-tribulation rapture. Because Revelation 13:16 says he causes all. Now, when we go to the Greek, what does that word all mean in the Greek? It means all. It means everybody. And this is the strong delusion of 2 Thessalonians 2:12-13. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to do what? To receive a digital ID, immunity, health, passport, microchip in their hands or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, Zuckerberg, or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Don't you wish God would just say, here it is, take a look? Well, he does. Revelation 13:18, here is wisdom. You want it? Come get it. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Today is day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. But before we continue, let's finish listening to just what mess Lucy has got herself into.
She's able to decide whether to authorize the doctor to access her medical records or not, ensuring her control over her personal data. Lucy needs one more thing before being all set for her trip to Australia.
What's
renting
that?
A car. I help her share her driver's license credentials online so that she doesn't have to wait hours in a queue to collect the car when she gets to Brisbane. The rental company benefits from secure and accurate information, and Lucy from a smooth experience. Lucy's friends are waiting for her inside the bar. To allow her to get in, I simply generate a QR code that proves Lucy is old enough, so she doesn't have to share all her ID details with the bar staff. So yes, I'm Lucy's best companion. I protect her identity and official credentials wherever she goes. I provide secured access to public and private services and allow her to...
All right, you just stop yourself talking. Did you hear that? That's Lucy's best friend. That's Lucy's best friend. The digital identification... health, passport, made possible, brought to you by, well, you know.
Good Morning America is brought to you by Pfizer.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
Anderson Cooper 360, brought to you by Pfizer.
ABC News Nightline, brought to you by Pfizer.
Making a difference. Brought to you by Pfizer.
CNN Tonight. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Early Start. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Friday night on Aaron Burnett Out Front. Brought to you by Pfizer.
This Week with George Stephanopoulos is brought to you by Pfizer.
This weather report brought to you by Pfizer.
Today's countdown to the royal wedding is brought to you by Pfizer.
And now a CBS Sports Update brought to you by Pfizer.
Meet the Press data download brought to you by Pfizer.
This portion of CBS This Morning sponsored by Pfizer.
On how to find the hidden sugars in the American family diet. Sponsored by Pfizer.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Yeah, we just shoot them right into the vein, and our aim is pretty good. And, you know, if we could just have a global fear campaign to kick this whole thing off and get this whole thing started, That'd be pretty good. If we could just somehow, if we could just somehow have something like, oh, I don't know, ID Event 201, brought to you by the fine folks at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the CDC, and the Johns Hopkins Medical Center. You know, the CDC, they have a number of patents on things. And a patent, for those of you who don't know, is a legal document that says that you own something. And if you put a patent on something, that means that you created it and you own it. So wouldn't it be interesting if, oh, I don't know, a company that does patent grant research would research to see if anybody owned a patent on the COVID-19 coronavirus? Wouldn't that be interesting if, I don't know, if you could prove that?
I'm the developer of linguistic genomics, which was the first platform on which you could determine the intent of communication rather than the literal artifact of communication. But we've also used that technology for a number of other applications in defense and intelligence and finance. And most notably, in the early 2000s, my company was responsible for bringing down what was at the time one of the largest tax frauds in U.S. history. We maintained a series of inquiries into every individual, every organization, and every company that is involved in anything that either blurs the line of biological and chemical weapons or crosses that line in any of 168 countries. In 1999, there were 1 million patents digitized by IBM. And those 1 million patents were the first time human innovation had been put into an electronic digital searchable format. We took that information and we did a very simple exercise using our linguistic genomics technology, where I made the horrific assessment that approximately 1/3 of all patents filed in the United States were functional forgeries, meaning that while they had linguistic variations, they actually covered the same subject matter. In 1999.
So I'll just stop David E. Martin right there. He's setting the table, and he gave this interview 2 years ago. And obviously, he is somebody who knows a lot about patents, about who owns them, about what they call the provenance of something. Which means, provenance is a fancy French word, which just simply means the trail that something has left behind. And David E. Martin is about to tell you something amazing. Maya Angelou said, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. And for a liberal poet, that was pretty good advice. I use that quote a lot. Whenever I deal with people and somebody shows me who they are, I only need to see it one time. And I believe it. And you should too. But David E. Martin, on a program called London Real or London Real, he is giving you his pedigree in the patent world. And David E. Martin is somebody who is one of the most respected patent researchers. He knows more about it than anybody else. He is the Albert Einstein of patents. So take a listen to what he says about this one.
Patents on coronavirus started.
Whoa! There it is.
And thus began the rabbit trail.
Thanks, David.
March 2003. Panic grips Hong Kong as a deadly new virus sweeps through the city.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike, and that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003, they sought to patent it. And they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it.
So they made sure, if I understand you correctly, Mr. Martin, Dr. Martin, they control everything about the form, the function of the coronavirus. Well, that's awfully good to know. Please tell us, Davey, is there more?
We know that Anthony Fauci, that the Center for Disease Control,
there's more.
A laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus.
Anthony Fauci and the CDC controls 100% of the entire empire of the coronavirus. They don't have 75% of it. They don't have 90% of it. They don't have half of it. They have 100%. Not according to the opinion of David E. Martin. According to the factual information that David E. Martin discovered when he researched it. But as the old commercial from the 70s used to say, but wait, there's more.
The World Health Organization has officially named the new novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
The coronavirus crisis.
The World Health Organization has declared
a pandemic. An international public health emergency.
Well, we know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who's famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans.
Here it is.
Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. In either outcome, both are illegal.
I want you to think about what David E. Martin just told you. It is illegal. It is against the law for Anthony Fauci and the CDC to hold a patent on a coronavirus. Because if they created it in a laboratory, as Rand Paul says they did, that's against the law to put a patent on that. But if it exists naturally in nature, like the flu virus, then it's also against the law to put a patent on that.
In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the Patent Office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
They had the means, they had the motive, and they had the money.
developing and owning a coronavirus vaccine has become a biotech arms race with political overtones.
This vaccine gold rush is starting to bother me. Gold rush. Let's keep that in mind.
Yeah. So somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened.
Oh.
The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said, gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research. But the letters that were sent to the researchers essentially said, you are receiving notice that we're telling you to stop. And now on the bottom of the page, we're going to clarify what stop means. Keep going.
It doesn't mean stop.
But when the heat gets hot in 2014 and 15, what do? You offshore the research. You fund the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
There it is.
Stuff that sounds like it's getting a little edgy with respect to its morality and legality. But do you do it straightway? No.
Nope.
You run the money through a series of cover organizations to make it look like you're funding a U.S. operation, which then subcontracts with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. could say China did it. China could say the U.S. did it. And the cool thing is, both of them are almost telling the truth.
And that brings us to this.
Dr. Fauci, we don't know whether the pandemic started in a lab in Wuhan or evolved naturally, but we should want to know. 3 million people have died from this pandemic, and that should cause us to explore all possibilities. Instead, government authorities, self-interested in continuing gain-of-function research, say there's nothing to see here. Gain-of-function research, as you know, is juicing up naturally occurring animal viruses to infect humans. To arrive at the truth, the U.S. government should admit that the Wuhan Virology Institute was experimenting to enhance the coronavirus's ability to infect humans. Juicing up superviruses is not new. Scientists in the U.S. have long known how to mutate animal viruses to infect humans. For years, Dr. Ralph Barrick, a virologist in the U.S., has been collaborating with Dr. Shi Zhengli of the Wuhan Virology Institute, sharing his discoveries about how to create superviruses. This gain-of-function research has been funded by the NIH. The collaboration between the U.S. and the Wuhan Virology Institute continues. Doctors Barrick and Shi worked together to insert bat virus spike protein into the backbone of the deadly SARS virus.
So what are you listening to here? You're listening to Senator Rand Paul reading Anthony Fauci the truth about what Fauci and his minions have been caught doing. And not coincidentally, this is exactly what David E. Martin said in the beginning of 2020 in that clip that I played for you. Rand Paul is telling you at the end of 2021 that everything that David E. Martin said and proved is 100% true.
And then use this man-made supervirus to infect human airway cells. Think about that for a moment. The SARS virus had a 15% mortality. We're fighting a pandemic that has about a 1% mortality. Can you imagine if a SARS virus that's been juiced up and had viral proteins added to it, to the spike protein, if that were released accidentally? Dr. Fauci, do you still support funding of the NIH funding of the lab in Wuhan?
Senator Paul, with all due respect, you are entirely and completely incorrect that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Do they fund Dr. Barrick?
We do not fund.
Do you fund Dr. Barrett's gain of function research?
Dr. Barrett does not doing gain of function research, and if it is, it's according to the guidelines, and it is being conducted in North Carolina.
See, this is what a liar sounds like when you ask them a question. You just heard Anthony Fauci when Rand Paul said to him, "Is this guy doing gain-of-function research?" And Anthony Fauci says, "No, absolutely not. He is not doing gain-of-function research. But if he is, he's doing it according to the guidelines."
You don't think inserting a bat virus spike protein that he got from the Wuhan Institute into the SARS virus is gain-of-function?
That is not...
You would be in the minority because... At least 200 scientists have signed a statement from the Cambridge Working Group saying that it is gain of function.
Well, it is
it
not.
Sure is.
And if
oh,
you look
is.
At the grant and you look at the progress reports, it is not gain of function, despite the fact that people tweet that.
So do you still support sending money to the Wuhan Virology Institute?
We do not send money now to the Wuhan Virology
Institute.
Yes,
you do.
Money. We did under your tutelage.
Yes, you do.
We were sending it through EcoHealth. It was a sub-agency and a sub-grant. Do you support that the money from NIH that was going to the Wuhan Institute?
Let me explain to you why that was done.
No, I don't think we're going to listen to your nonsense, Tony Fauci. I think David E. Martin and Rand Paul have said it succinctly enough that you are a big, fat liar, and you are part of the New World Order here on day 666. You are part of the New World Order who is attempting to force every living human being into receiving a digital ID immunity health passport. And we reject that. So you hear David E. Martin, and he laid it out very calm and sanely and rationally, really just giving you facts of what he found. And then you heard Rand Paul, 2 years after the interview with David E. Martin, and you heard Rand Paul call Anthony Fauci a liar on national television on C-SPAN. And Anthony Fauci is a liar.
Right now in the United States,
yep,
people should not be walking around with masks.
Oh.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet. But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep...
We only have a little time left. I want to ask you, sources are telling CNN the top health officials are weighing whether to revise mask guidelines for vaccinated Americans. Are you part of those conversations? And if so, what are you advising? Do you think masks should be brought back for vaccinated Americans?
All right. So the first part of that clip is you heard Anthony Fauci say in June of 2020, remember, he's been the head of the CDC for 40 years. Remember, he is the top employee, the highest paid employee in Washington, D.C., making almost $500,000 a year. Remember that Anthony Fauci is a world famous virologist. And he wanted you to know that you should absolutely not wear a mask.
You know, Jake, this is under active consideration. If you're asking, am I part of the discussion? Yes, I am part of the discussion. But I think what you are seeing, even though as of our conversation at this moment, the CDC still says and recommends that if you are vaccinated fully, that you do not need to wear a mask indoors. However, if you look at what's going on locally in the trenches in places like LA County, the local officials have the discretion, and the CDC agrees with that ability and discretion capability to say, you know, you're in a situation where we're having a lot of dynamics of infection.
All right, that's enough of you, Tony Fauci. Anthony Fauci has a long and interesting history. Anthony Fauci has some very powerful friends. Anthony Fauci was buddy-buddy with Bill Gates Sr., buddy-buddy with George Soros, buddy-buddy with David Rockefeller. Anthony Fauci has some very powerful friends. Have you ever heard about a project called Project Lockstep from the Rockefeller Foundation? That's a really interesting project. Operation Lockstep. We'll take a listen to this clip talking about David Rockefeller. Longtime listeners, you know this clip. You love this clip. But take a listen to this clip on the 1981 episode of Barney Miller talking about David Rockefeller.
They're the ones you should be arresting, not me.
Why didn't you say that before? What do we got here?
Cam, this is William Klein. He was wrecking an office.
But I just wanted to meet them face to face. I wanted them to admit what they were doing.
Who is they?
He was in the office of the Trilateral Commission.
Trilateral Commission?
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller to bring together business and political leaders from the United States, Europe, Japan, so they could work together for better economic and political cooperation between their nations.
Yeah, but that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I take it they're pressing charges?
Yeah, well, he broke a globe and some UNICEF artwork.
Well, they're in on it, too.
Okay, Mr. Klein, if you just...
I'm telling you, our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
I appreciate that information.
But I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Well, he's got these magazines here.
Conspiracy Review? Suppressed Truth Roundup?
The whole master plan is exposed.
Yeah, well,
You're still not convinced, huh? Would you like to hear the names of just a few of the people who have been on the Trilateral Commission?
Not particularly.
James Earl Carter. Heard of him?
Look, Mr. Klein...
Henry Kissinger. You heard of him? Walter Mondale.
Who?
Mr. Klein, this is
John Anderson, George Bush. Now, you remember at the convention, everybody thought it was going to be Ford for Veep. You know what happened? David Rockefeller just picked up a phone, put in a call. Hey, Ronnie, forget Jerry, it's George. Bye. So, no matter who won in November, they had their man in the White House.
Are you through?
Well, it may have just been a script for a comedy show, but there's nothing funny about David Rockefeller, who said, "Some people believe that the Rockefeller family is part of a secret cabal working against the best interest of the United States. Characterizing my family and me as internationalists and conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. A one-world system, if you will. If that's the charge," David Rockefeller said back in 1984, "if that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it." A couple of months ago, a news program wanted you to know that a document created in 2010 by the Rockefeller Foundation called Operation Lockstep They want you to rest easy that they investigated this and it has nothing to do with the corona global pandemic. Take a listen to Rockefeller document does not prove theory. Coronavirus pandemic was planned in 2010.
This morning, we are verifying if the COVID-19 pandemic was predicted nearly a decade ago. That's the social media claim circulating as more states put restrictions back into place. Jason Puckett is sorting out fact from fiction.
Let's start with the claim that this lockdown was planned more than 10 years ago in the, quote, Rockefeller document. Now, there are a lot of claims in these posts. They say that the Rockefeller document talks about a contagious but low mortality rate virus, that it would have a weaponized version, that the virus would be transported between labs and smuggled out by China, that they'd fund government agencies and give them talking points and scripts, and that governments would coordinate a vaccine development and multiple lockdown phases. Okay, that's a lot. Let's verify. Did this Rockefeller document really predict the COVID pandemic? Our sources, the Johns Hopkins Data Tracker, the CDC, and the Rockefeller Foundation. We found the document these claims mention. It's actually called Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development. It was made in 2010 by the Rockefeller Foundation to consider how different technology will affect our world over the next decade. It is 54 pages long with four different scenarios. Only one of them was a pandemic. And it's not nearly as similar as these claims suggest. The scenario virus started in 2012, not 2019. It started in geese. It was very fatal, killing more than 8 million people. And many governments put lockdowns and other restrictions in place. And that's the only similarity between COVID and this scenario virus, that many world governments have put in place lockdowns. That's it. This long list of claims doesn't match the document at all. And the virus in this scenario, it has almost no resemblance to COVID-19.
So there's your trusted evening news telling you nothing to worry about, because it didn't happen exactly the way that it actually happened in real life. But in Operation Lockstep, what you have is a global pandemic. On page 18 of that 54-page document. And it describes a virus emerging from China and rapidly spreading around the world, destroying the economies of the West. However, in Operation Lockstep, China's economy was saved due to the country's quick imposition and enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of all borders. The various governments of the world used the virus as an excuse to advance technocratic surveillance, implementing various transhumanist and biological technologies, such as digital identities and vaccine passports. Any of that sound familiar? Just because it happened, just because the scenario in Operation Lockstep said that it took place in 2012 instead of 2020. Just because it said it took place in geese. What does that mean? Doesn't mean anything at all. David Rockefeller is part of the Trilateral Commission, well, before he died, but the Rockefeller family. Rockefellers and the Gates, Bill Gates Sr. and Bill Gates III, and George Soros and Anthony Fauci, they're all buddy-buddy. So when you take Operation Lockstep from 2010, and you take something like Event 201 from 2019, and you put all these things together, you get a whole lot of interesting coincidences. I don't call them coincidences. I call it the truth, and I call it predictive programming. And I say that these things are absolutely there if you want to see them. Jimmy Dore was talking about Bill Maher. He has that program on HBO called Real Time with Bill Maher. And Bill Maher is a far-left liberal who occasionally says some things that are worth listening to. And Bill Maher has become skeptical of the booster shot. Take a listen why.
We're talking about natural immunity, right? So they're mandating jabs. Now they're coming out the boosters. They're telling kids to get vaccinated. Having SARS-CoV-2 once confers much greater immunity than a vaccine. That's some science magazine. Israelis who had an infection were more protected against the Delta coronavirus variant than those who had already had highly affected COVID-19 vaccine. Isn't that something? And so here is Dr. Liar, Fauci, Dr. Pathological Liar, corrupt criminal in the pocket of Big Pharma, Dr. Fauci, who will never tell you about Medicare for All, which would have saved 200,000 lives during COVID. He'll never bring that up. Why? Because he's a tool of Big Pharma. He's corrupt and he's not there to help you. He's there to push an agenda. So now the agenda is mandates for vaccines. And now if you already have natural immunity, why would you want to get a vaccine? Here's what Sanjay Gupta asked him, and we'll listen to his answer.
There was a study that came out of Israel about natural immunity. And basically the headline was that natural immunity provides a lot of protection, even better than the vaccines alone. What are people to make of that? So as we talk about vaccine mandates, I get calls all the time. People say, I've already had COVID, I'm protected, and now the study says maybe even more protected than the vaccine alone. Should they also get the vaccine? How do you make the case to them?
You know, that's a really good point, Sanjay. I don't have a really firm answer for you on that.
But I'm going to mandate it for everybody anyway, right? Because my bosses at the Big Pharma tell me to. And it's gotten so bad that even Bill Maher is pushing back. Now, there isn't a bigger... I mean, this guy's he's a right-of-center Democrat. At best, you could say he's a centrist, but he's not.
He supported Amy Klobuchar.
A lot of his politics are out of touch and a joke, but he has some principles that are never out of touch. And when he sticks by them, they're good. They're very efficacious. And so here, let's watch.
But we're not done until the world is safe, and we're not safe as a world until the world's vaccinated.
So that guy just got done saying we're not safe until the world is vaccinated. You are never going to be safe from COVID. No matter how many people get vaccinated, you are never going to be safe from COVID. You are, in fact, if you're watching this and you're alive for 5 more years, you're going to get COVID no matter how many booster shots you get. That's a fact.
And that's absolutely true. There is no vaccine that will ultimately prevent you from getting COVID.
So everyone's going to get it. So this idea that he's pushing, which comes from Big Pharma, that if enough people get vaccinated, we can get rid of COVID, is a lie. That's not true.
When you have a liberal comedian like Jimmy Dore telling you more truth than CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, NPR, I want you to think about where we are on day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. We're getting more truth from unsaved liberal comedians who identify as socialists, and they're telling you more truth about the vaccine than the news is.
It's never going away. It will circulate like the flu, and you can't get rid of it, and everybody's going to get it. How do I know everybody's going to get it? Well, because Dr. Robert Malone told me, that's Virology 101 on this show. Also, Biden's director of COVID response said so. Biden's director, Andy Slavitt, said that no matter what, everyone is going to get COVID. They don't advertise that. Why? Because if they did, more people would be vaccine hesitant. So they can't let you know the real facts because Big Pharma owns them all. And listen to what Bill Maher says.
Except the world recognizes natural immunity. We don't. because everything in this country has to go through the pharmaceutical companies. Natural immunity is the best kind of immunity.
Again, more truth from unsaved, far left, late night comedians than you're getting from the news.
We shouldn't fire people who have natural immunity because they don't get the vaccine. We should hire them. Yes?
Yes.
His audience doesn't
know. They don't know what to do. His audience is like, wait a minute. We're supposed to be vaccinated.
I don't know. Am I supposed to clap
huh?
or not?
What? Is that? He's exactly right. We shouldn't fire people who get natural immunity. We should hire them. He's exactly right. And these two, and this idiot doesn't know what to say.
If someone tests is having antibodies.
Well, okay, but you know, people who've had it, I've had it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I shouldn't be tested anymore. I had the vaccine.
And if someone's willing to be a fireman, if someone's willing to be a policeman, if someone's willing to go into a burning building and says, I'm just not that afraid of COVID and I don't want to take the vaccine, that should be enough. He shouldn't
That's
be losing
right.
his job.
That's
he shouldn't
right.
be furloughed without pay. The guy that saves lives because
Amen,
he doesn't want
sister.
To take the vaccine. It's ridiculous.
And just a little messaging. I mean, I see it all the time. I saw it driving in today. People outside, alone, walking with a mask. It's so stupid. It's an amulet.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
A charm people
a
wear
scapula.
Around neck
yes.
to ward away evil
exactly.
spirits. It means nothing. I mean, can't we get people to understand the facts more? I mean, listen to this.
All right. Now, I really want you to pay attention to what Bill Maher says now, because that's going to lead directly into my next clip. Pay close attention to what Bill Maher says next.
For unvaccinated hospitalization risk, unvaccinated, 41% of Democrats thought it was over 50%.
So,
all right. So they took a poll and they asked Democrats, what is the percentage of unvaccinated people who get COVID who wind up in the hospital? And this poll said that Democrats came back with the answer of 50%. They took a poll and asked Democrats what they thought the percentage of people who were unvaccinated, got COVID, and got hospitalized. Democrats say that that number is at 50%.
Oh. So realize what he's saying. They did Pew did a poll, and Democrats, over 40% of Democrats thought that if you get COVID, the chances of you going to the hospital are 50%. That's what Democrats thought. This is what he's talking about. Almost half of the people who identify as Democrats thought that the risk of going to the hospital from COVID was over 50%. He's going to give you the real number.
Unvaccinated.
Eric, hang on.
He's going to find it.
Hospitalization rate for the vaccinated is actually 0.01%. And the rate for the unvaccinated is 0.89%. So in both cases, the correct answer is less than 1%. They thought it was over 50. How do people, especially of one party, get such a bad idea?
So Bill Maher, unsaved liberal socialist comedian, and Jimmy Dore, unsaved socialist liberal comedian, they're telling you that the numbers, according to the federal government, it is less than 1% of anybody who gets COVID goes to the hospital. Less than 1%. Now, with that in mind, listen to what Justice Sotomayor said about children in the hospital with COVID.
Counsel, those numbers show that Omicron is as deadly and causes as much serious disease in the unvaccinated as Delta did. The numbers, look at the hospitalization rates that are going on. We have more affected people in the country today than we had a year ago in January. We have hospitals that are almost at full capacity with people severely ill on ventilators. We have over 100,000 children which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators.
That is Justice Sotomayor of the U.S. Supreme Court telling you that over 100,000 children are in the hospital right now from COVID. You want to know the actual number? It was 4,000 people. So maybe she was ignorant and didn't know the answer. Maybe she knew the answer and she chose to lie. I don't know. But either she knew and she lied, or she didn't know and she's ignorant. But she is one of the justices on the U.S. Supreme Court that is going to be deciding Biden's mandate. How important do you think that is? 100,000 children in the hospital from COVID, and she was only off by 96,000 plus. These same people told you this back in July of 2021.
But I have a couple questions I want to ask you, because, sure, you know, the pandemic is a big concern for everyone, really, sure, around the world, but especially around America. New cases are up three times since last month, right? The pandemic is a big concern. Hospitalizations, death, rising. So you said last month that this that the virus is in retreat. Do you still feel that way? Is that still
The case? Look, it's real simple. We have a pandemic for those who haven't gotten a vaccination. Is that basic, that simple? 10,000 people have recently died. 9,950 of them, or thereabouts, are people who hadn't been vaccinated. This is a simple, basic proposition. If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die. So it's gigantically...
So there you are, Joe Biden, telling you a big fat lie. If you're vaccinated, you're not going to die from COVID. Was that true? No, that's not true. If you're vaccinated, you won't be hospitalized. Is that true? No, that's not true. If you're vaccinated, you won't die of COVID in a hospital. Is that true? No, that's not true. Now, we expect that from Democrats. But what about Republicans? What about the Make America Great Again Savior? Certainly, he is not going to be agreeing with the Democrats.
But I think the frustration on the Republican side, and this is why I said I want to talk a lot about Republican frustrations, is that we see the corruption, right? Yeah. It doesn't seem like anybody ever pays for the corruption.
Yeah.
And right now we're seeing corruption live, even in terms of Big Pharma, which is a huge topic on the minds of mothers especially. You're seeing what's happening at these school board meetings. Where do you stand on these vaccine mandates? And obviously I know that you are pro-vaccine. Obviously you did everything you could to get this vaccine out. I know where you stand on the vaccine.
It was one of the greatest achievements. We did it in less than 9 months.
And to be able to do that. Yeah, but now it's taken a twist, right? It's gotten, now we went from this is a good thing and people should have this option, yeah, to military men, you're going to have to resign, yeah, because you're not getting this vaccine. Where do you stand, yeah, on that?
Well, I stand on, forget about the mandates, that people have to have their freedom. But at, yeah, the same time, the vaccine is one of the greatest achievements of mankind. We would have had a 1917, remember the Spanish flu, killed perhaps 100 million people. Actually, it ended the First World War because the soldiers were so. A lot of people don't know that. The soldiers got so sick. It was a terrible thing. There were no vaccines. There were no anything. I came up with a vaccine, with three vaccines. Mm. All are very, very good. Came up with three of them in less than 9 months. It was supposed to take
Wait for it. Here it comes.
And yet more people have died under COVID this year, by the way, yeah, under Joe Biden.
That's right.
Than under you, and more people took the vaccine this year. So people are questioning how.
Well, no, the vaccine worked, but yeah, some people aren't taking it. The ones that get very sick and go
here
to the hospital are the ones that don't take the vaccine. But it's still their choice. And if you take the vaccine, you're protected. Look, the results of the vaccine are very good. And if you do get it, it's a very minor form. People aren't dying when they take the vaccine.
What about the masking of children?
The VAERS website over the weekend added 900 more names. The CDC VAERS website added 900 more names of people who died, like Bob Saget, of mysterious unexplained circumstances. The CDC VAERS website over the weekend reported an increase of 900 more people that died after getting their booster shot. 900 in a single weekend. Now, are you asking me, did 900 people die this past weekend after getting booster shots? I don't know. All I know is that the CDC VAERS website says they did. I mean, what can I go by? I don't have access to government records. I don't have access to the CDC or the FDA. I'm certainly not a doctor, though I think I've played a doctor in the movies before. But I'm not a medical professional. I don't know if 900 people died after getting their booster shot this past weekend, but I know that the CDC VAERS website says they did. Use your brains. I don't know. But I know that the CDC VAERS website says that they did, so you can do the math on that one. So, but isn't it interesting? Donald Trump saying exactly the same thing as the fake news media that he despises so much. Donald Trump, the man who says that the election was stolen from him. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. The man who seems to have an intense hatred for sleepy Joe Biden. So, am I the only one that finds it odd that the same Donald Trump is repeating Democratic talking points? The same Donald Trump is repeating the Joe Biden talking points? I don't know. I'm just here to present this to you. Now, if you ask me about the Bible, that I know. If you ask me about end times prophecy and the mark of the beast, that I know. Do I know that 900 people died of a booster shot this past weekend? No. But I know that the CDC VAERS website says they did. I want to play this clip from our friend Spiro Sakouris. And he's a guy that's, he's taken such a pounding for the truth. Well, Spiro, the other day, he got on the phone and he called the Federal Department of Labor. And he asked them as an employer what effect that the Biden vaccine mandates that go into effect today, day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. The Biden mandates go into effect today. And Spiro got on the phone on Friday and called the Federal Department of Labor, and he recorded his conversation. It's only 2 minutes long. But take a listen to what the Joe Biden Department of Labor told Spiro about his employees.
Thank you for calling the United States Department of Labor National Contact Center. My name is John, and how did you find our phone number today?
Hi, John. My name is Spiro. I'm recording this conversation as well as a matter of public record, and I found this phone number on the United States Department of Labor website.
How can I help you today?
I have concerns and questions regarding the vaccine mandate for businesses. If I tell my employee, hey, you have to get the shot to keep your job, and they take the shot and then they're, you know, injured to whatever degree, can they sue me?
No. So, yeah, it does say here that you're required to provide paid time off
but for the 76 workers to get vaccinated. Now, if they are feeling under the weather, like some, there are some side effects with the vaccination, you will need to give pay time off for recover if they're under the weather post-vaccination.
For how long?
For that, you will need to contact the local OSHA office.
Can you tell me, is there a specific type of testing? Because I know that there's multiple different tests available. Would it be like an antibody test or a PCR test, or is it up to the discretion of the employer, or is there going to be standards issued by OSHA on the type of testing that is accepted?
Yeah, so here I don't have any specification, so it will be based on the employer's discretion.
Now, who is going to pay for that testing? Is it the employer's responsibility since they're requiring it?
Yeah, so here I don't have information about the employer having to pay, so it will probably be the employee who has to pay for the test.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty hefty burden to place on the employee who has basically no say in this matter. Like, they're not choosing to go and get tested. They're being told they have to go get tested. So just the same way that if I require drug testing, which I do, it's my financial obligation to for that testing. I can't go tell my guys, hey, you got to go take a pee test, and by the way, here's the bill. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how it works. I don't understand why this would be any different.
Yeah, so like I said, here it doesn't specify that information, so it will be up to the discretion of the employer.
So there you have our friend Spiro, and I was chatting with him last week through Twitter, and our friend Spiro, who has been deplatformed and banned, he said three times already, he gets hit hard too. And you just heard Spiro having a conversation with a official representative of the Joe Biden Department of Labor. And you can see what's coming. You can see what's coming if you're an employer, and you can see what's coming if you're an employee. Joe Biden's going to make you get tested a minimum of once a week, and he's going to make you pay for that test. And that test is probably going to cost you about $200 to $300 per week to do the testing. Why so expensive? Because they don't want you to do the testing. They want you to take the vaccine. So they're going to make it very, very, very hard for you to exist without taking the vaccine. And we told you that last week, French President Emmanuel Macron, he declared war, not on another country, not on America, not on some foreign power, but Emmanuel Macron last week declared war on his own people. And he used a very specific French word called emmerde, E-M-M-E-R-E-D. My older brother, who was killed by Anthony Fauci's AZT prescription, my brother Bob, who died on December 4th of 1988, who died because Anthony Fauci issued his death order with AZT, and I forgot where I was going with that, thinking about my brother. Always brings a tear to my eye. But suffice to say that Emmanuel Macron has declared... Oh, that's what I was saying. My brother used to live in France. He spoke French fluently. He studied at the Sorbonne Institute. Or Sorbonne Institute. And he would use that word merde from time to time. And do you know what the word merde means? M-E-R-D? It means human excrement. That's what it means. It means human excrement. Merde is the French word for crap. That's as close as I can come to it. But Emmanuel Macron last week said, talking about the unvaccinated French citizens, he used the term emmerd, E-M-M-E-R-E-D, which means it is an insult. It is a pejorative statement. And if you use that in context to another person, you are telling that person that you're going to dip them in poop. And yes, that sounds kind of funny because I said poop, which is a funny word. And I can't say the other word because as Christians, we're not supposed to talk like that. And I try very hard not to. But when you don't use the word poop and you use the other word, then it's not so funny that he wants to do that to his unvaccinated citizens. Isn't that what the Nazis did to people in the concentration camp? They dipped them in human excrement because they hated them and they wanted to humiliate them. Have you ever read the book of Jeremiah? Where Jeremiah is so hated by his fellow Jewish people because he's preaching the truth and he's telling them the words of God, that they took the prophet Jeremiah and they threw him into a cesspool. They emmerded him. That's in the Bible. You go read Jeremiah chapters 18 through 22, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But that's what it means to emmerd somebody. It means that you hate them. It means that you want to humiliate them. It's not just about beating them. You want to humiliate them. Makes me mad. It really does. Every once in a while, I get talking about this stuff, and I feel some of those bad words percolating behind my lips, and I'm like, Lord, don't let me say that. Don't let me say it. And God is good. I'm not going to talk like that. I believe that a Christian should keep his mouth clean. I don't even like to say, let's go, Brandon, because of what it means. And I'm not, you know, talking about Romans 13. I'm just talking about trying to have a good testimony. And so God convicts me. I don't say things like, let's go, Brandon. But I want to. And not only that, sometimes I want to say what let's go, Brandon means. Because it makes me mad. But Shar says, God cleans us up. Amen. Amen. What are we but just filthy, dirty sinners that God had pity on, God had mercy on, and cleaned us up. Amen, Lord. Thank you so much. Keep cleaning me, God. Keep cleaning me. Amen. Amen. I see that we only have another 6 minutes to go, but I have more stuff. Let me see in the chat room if you guys don't mind going a little bit past the top of the hour. If you guys want to do more, I told you I had a big program. If you want to do more, I got about another 20 minutes worth of stuff, maybe another half hour worth of stuff, but you let me know if you want to keep going. But just let me know before we get to the top of the hour, because I'll keep going. Amen. That's my people. There it is. That's my people. Amen. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep talking about the strange times that we're living in. Mass formation psychosis. Last week, well, before I get to that, let me read this. Let me read this. If you have to be persuaded, reminded, pressured, lied to, incentivized, coerced, bullied, socially shamed, guilt-tripped, threatened, punished, and criminalized, if all of this is considered necessary to gain your compliance, you can be absolutely certain that what is being promoted is not in your best interest. I don't know this man who said it. His name is Ian Watson. And it was really just a meme that I saw on social media that caught my eye. I don't know who Ian Watson is. I hope he's not a crazy person. But what Ian Watson is credited with saying is very true. If you have to be persuaded, reminded, pressured to, lied to, incentivized, coerced, bullied, socially shamed, guilt-tripped, threatened, punished, and criminalized, if all of this is considered necessary to gain your compliance, you can be absolutely certain that what is being promoted is not in your best interest. And that's 100% true. So whoever Ian Watson is, that was a very, very good statement, and it caught my eye, and I wanted to share that with you. Now, if you're one of our listeners in the great state of Australia, great nation of Australia, or should I say the former English colony of Australia, then you're experiencing this right now.
I will now go through each of these decisions. First, the lockout. The fully vaccinated can continue as they were. For people who are not vaccinated, lockdown rules will apply to everyone 16 and above. If you are not fully vaxxed, stay home. You are at greater risk of catching COVID, becoming ill, and needing hospital care. You may only leave home for three reasons. Medical treatment, including COVID testing or vaccination. For essential goods and services like groceries, power tokens, medications. To provide care and support to a family member or person who cannot support themselves. You cannot travel more than 30 kilometres from your home when leaving for one of the three reasons, or the nearest practical destination. If you need to go to the hospital and it's more than 30 kilometres from your home, that's okay. There are only three reasons to leave the home now, not five. Work is not a reason to leave the home for the unvaccinated. The Chief Health Officer has also determined that restriction of movement is critical right now and that 1 hour of exercise for the next 4 days is not essential. Remember, these restrictions only apply to those who are not fully vaccinated.
So that's what's happening in Australia right now. And last week on the podcast, we showed you that Australia has actually created COVID not concentration camps. I don't know what else to call them. But it is a fact that in the nation of Australia, people are being detained. And they're being detained not simply because they have COVID. They are also being detained because they are unvaccinated. And that's happening right now. And in fact, it's been going on for a number of months. And Australia right now, the unvaccinated, not the vaccinated, but the unvaccinated right now are in lockdown in Australia. And last week on the program, we told you that, in our opinion, this is a trial balloon. This is test marketing. They want to see if they can get away with it. So what did they do? Australia says, we're going to lock down the unvaccinated for 5 days. No big deal, right? No problem. We're going to lock down the unvaccinated for 7 days. Yeah, what's a week? Take one for the team. Show your Australian patriotism. Go get locked down in our detention center for a mere 7 days. And then 7 days becomes 2 weeks. And then 2 weeks becomes a month. And then a month becomes Well, so this is what they're doing now. They are seeing what they can get away with. And yes, in many nations around the world, hundreds of thousands of people have taken to the streets and they are protesting lockdowns. They are protesting mandates. They're doing it. And I applaud if you live in one of those countries where people are literally out in the street and they're protesting, you have my support. You have my prayers. Go get them, baby. Go get them. But the sad part is, and the sad reality of the matter, is that while a couple of 100,000 people in France protest Macron in the streets, 6.2 million went to get jabbed. So when you look at the protest on YouTube, it's really kind of impressive. Until you realize that while 200,000 may have protested, over 6.2 million obeyed Macron and went out and got the jab. We live in a time where strange things are happening. I've told you guys over the years, I want to give you a story of something that happened yesterday. And I'm going to show you how it relates to what we're talking about. Day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. Something happened yesterday that was astonishing. No, it was nearly miraculous. And it was football. Now, those of you that know me, you know that I stopped watching all sports about 2.5 years ago when they started ramming that social justice down your throat, down my throat, when they started advertising for Black Lives Matter during the course of a Steelers game. Well, what was my reaction? My reaction was I took all my jerseys and I brought them to Goodwill. And I threw my football-related stuff away. I have been a Steelers fan since the time that I was 14 years old. And I thrilled to watch Lynn Swan, number 88 for the Pittsburgh Steelers, catching those amazing passes from Terry Bradshaw. Now, just stay with me here, please. This isn't a conversation about football. But I want to show you what happened yesterday, how it relates to what we're talking about. We are living in a very, very strange time. We're living in a time where absolutely any combination of anything can happen. And it happened yesterday. Now, I tuned in yesterday after not watching for 2.5 years, because I wanted to see what my Pittsburgh Steelers were going to do against the Baltimore Ravens in the last game of the year. And the last potential game that Big Ben Roethlisberger, who is my favorite player of all time, this was potentially the last game he was ever going to play. So I tuned into it to see how it would go. Now, for those of you that follow football, and here's the meat of my story. For those of you that follow football, you know that the Steelers had a very, very spotty year. Big Ben is not nearly as good as he used to be. They had a number of players hurt, and they had a number of rookie players. So the Steelers had a very, very spotty year. Well, yesterday, the Steelers played the Baltimore Ravens, who are a better team than the Steelers. nobody thought that the Steelers would beat the Ravens. But when you watch the news programs, they said that in order for the Steelers to make it in to the playoffs, three things had to happen. And I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say, because this is not about sports. And Satman said, you know, Big Ben is the dark side. Forget the football. I'm not talking about football. And what I'm talking about is going to relate directly to UFOs. So please stay with me. All weekend long, the people on the sports program said that it was nearly impossible for the Pittsburgh Steelers to make it into the playoffs, because the first thing that would have to happen is they would have to beat the Baltimore Ravens at home, and nobody thought that they could beat the Baltimore Ravens. But even if they beat the Ravens, in order for Pittsburgh to make it into the playoffs, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were 2-14, meaning they've only won two games all year long, they had to play the red-hot Colts. And the Colts were one game away from making the playoffs. Everybody predicted a Jacksonville Jaguars blowout. But in order for the Steelers to make it into the playoffs, the Steelers had to beat the Ravens, and the Jaguars, a 2-14 team, had to beat one of the hottest teams in the NFL, which is the Colts. But it doesn't stop there. Then the third thing that had to happen is that the game last night with the Chargers and the Raiders, that game could not end in a tie. So are you with me so far? In order for the Steelers to make the playoffs, the Steelers had to beat the Baltimore Ravens, which nobody said that they could do. Then, if they beat the Ravens, the last place Jacksonville Jaguars had to beat the red-hot Baltimore Colts, which they did. They destroyed them. And then the third thing that had to happen was the Chargers and the Raiders. If that game ended in a tie, then the Steelers would be eliminated from playoff contention. Now, why am I talking about this? The reason why I'm talking about this is because yesterday, like it was a script, yesterday, like we're living in a simulation, let me tell you what happened. Pittsburgh Steelers went into overtime against the Baltimore Ravens, and they had a really good game. And the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Baltimore Ravens in overtime. Then the Jacksonville Jaguars, the last place team, destroyed the Baltimore Colts like they were a high school football team. For that one day, Jacksonville played better than any game they ever played ever. And then last night, what do you think happened? The two teams that could not possibly tie each other tied each other. And it went into overtime. And all they had to do was just let the game end in a tie, and the Steelers would have no chance of getting in the playoffs. It gets all the way down to the last 10 minutes of overtime. The Raiders have the ball, and they are about to spike it and let the clock run out on a completely tie ball game. That's all they had to do. And then with 5 seconds to go, the Chargers called the timeout. They didn't know that the Ravens were getting ready to spike the ball. The Chargers called a timeout. The Raiders changed their plan. They decided to not spike the ball. They decided to kick a field goal from 47 yards. And what do you think happened? The Steelers beat the Ravens. The Jaguars, last place team, destroyed the Colts. And the game that could not end in a tie, that was going to end in a tie, ended in one of the most sensational field goals ever kicked in NFL history. And so, I said all that to say this. This past weekend, when it was presented what would have to happen in order for the Steelers to make it into the playoffs, it was the most far-fetched, ludicrous, unbelievable, never-happen proposition that you could ever possibly imagine. And what happened yesterday? It happened exactly the way that it had to happen for the Steelers to get into the playoffs, which they are. But I told you, this is not about football. This is about the world that we live in. And yesterday, the series of events that led up to the Steelers getting into the playoffs, something that nobody on the face of the earth said could happen, and the difficulty level was so astonishingly high, and yet when it was all said and done, it happened exactly to the T, to the last 2 seconds of the last game at 12:35 in the morning. And as I sat up and I watched that game, I could not help but think, this is the crazy world that we live in, where anything is possible, where anything can happen. This world that is so much more like a digital simulation than anything else. And what happened yesterday should not have happened. And it did happen that way. I want you to listen to Chuck Missler in a little clip called "They're Hiding the Truth About Our Reality." And I want you to think that if you don't believe that you live in a world where absolutely any crazy thing can happen, then you are probably already under the spell of mass formation psychosis. If you can't look at this world and detect that there is something very, very strange about all of it, then you're not awake, then you're not paying attention. And if you believe that this COVID virus is just random in nature, after David E. Martin told you that the CDC has had a patent on the COVID-19 virus since 2003, after you listen to that commercial from the digital ID wallet from Thales, telling Lucy that they give her authority to live her life, if you don't think these things are happening, if you don't think these things can happen, you're wrong. Because they are happening. Take a listen to Chuck Missler telling you about, well, UFOs.
Well, UFOs, of course, are a really very charged term because most people regard them as nonsense, confusion, for good reason. Because there's been so many hoaxes, so much nonsense, a lot of deliberate nonsense, misunderstandings. So it's probably the toughest area to research that I'm aware of. And yet, if you cut through all of that, it takes a lot of work to do that, you end up with a core group of serious events recorded by competent people that are disturbing. And they're disturbing for a couple of reasons. The first thing is that are they real? Some of them are real in the sense that they show up on multiple radars simultaneously. They leave evidence behind, burnt ground, radioactivity, that sort of thing. So they're tangible. They're not hallucinations. Radar sets don't have hallucinations, especially multiple ones. So, on the other hand, they exhibit behavior that defies physical laws. They go faster than the speed of sound without sonic booms. They make right-angle turns that are just impossible to rationalize. And perhaps most mysteriously, they appear and disappear almost on command. And so that they defy any rational explanation. But it's interesting, out of that background, there are some people that suspect that maybe these are alien visitors that are out to help us and that kind of nonsense. However, the two people that really spent their lives researching this with great dedication, J. Allen Hynek, the American, and Jacques Vallée, the Frenchman, both of them wrote prolifically, and they both conclude that they're demonic, that they are deceitful, not beneficial, and that they apparently exhibit some kind of intelligence. There were theories for a while that they're visitors from another galaxy, but that quickly gets dismissed with some careful analysis. I think the current thinking is that somehow they appear to be interdimensional, and that gets into a subject of hyperspaces, which requires some background.
So there you have Chuck Missler, who's home with the Lord now. Chuck Missler, who started my favorite online Bible, Blue Letter Bible, which if you go to blueletterbible.org, you will see that it is defaulted to display the King James Version. So I love my Blue Letter Bible. And Chuck Missler was a great man of God. He was also a rocket scientist. A lot of people don't know that. Chuck Missler was a scientist, and he dealt with NASA. And he was privy to a lot of secret background information. Chuck Missler said that it's like we're living in a digital simulation. He didn't say it in that clip, but he said that before. Well, you know, one of the players on the Pittsburgh Steelers, when they were watching the game, the last game with the Raiders and the Chargers, they posted a tweet which said, "I can't believe what I'm watching. It's like we live in a simulation." That's what people were tweeting last night about that amazing story of the Pittsburgh Steelers making it into the playoffs after the most unbelievable chain of events takes place. What does that have to do with what we're talking about? Because we're living in a time of unbelievable chain of events. And you need to wake up. You need to open up your King James Bible. And you need to understand that the things that have been prophesied there are playing out in front of your face right now. Why do you think we're doing a program called Day 666 of 15 Days to Flatten the Curve? Because it's true. Because these things are happening. And I want you to think about this. The night before we do this program, those amazing things happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers that everybody said could not happen, that the people watching it said it was like watching a digital simulation. And then Bob Saget dies alone in a hotel room in Orlando, Florida, found by the housekeeper. No evidence of foul play, no evidence of drugs or alcohol. The only thing that we know is that 3 weeks ago he took his booster shot. Now, Chuck Missler just told you about the aliens from outer space. We recommend that you go to BibleBeliever.com. That's our website for the bookstore. Go to BibleBeliever.com and pick up a copy of the Genesis 6 Giants. And then after you read that, order a copy of a book called Empire Under the Ice. Those are two books by Stephen Quayle. And Stephen Quayle has been a big supporter of this ministry for a long time. Next to Facebook, Steve Quayle's website, stevequayle.com, has sent more visitors to Now the End Begins than any other single site except for Facebook. Last time I checked, it was over 1 million people that came to Now the End Begins through stevequayle.com. So when we opened the bookstore, we absolutely had to sell a couple of his books. Go to BibleBeliever.com and get them. But the point of what I'm saying to you is that we're living in a time where UFOs, now we know what they are. They're not space aliens. They're not little green men. They are fallen angels and giants. I don't have time to go into that, but we've talked about that on countless rightly dividing Bible studies. Chuck Missler just told you that aliens are real. Chuck Missler was a very sober, serious man. Chuck Missler was a born-again Bible believer who stood on the authority of the King James Bible, and when he created Blue Letter Bible, that's the Bible, that's the main Bible. Well, he told you that there is far too much evidence to believe that they're not, that it's not happening, because it is happening. Take a listen to this retired Navy commander from 2004 talking about when he was flying jets for the United States Air Force, coming in contact with UFOs.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the NSA. My gosh.
These three videos released by the Department of Defense have changed the way many people see what we can't explain.
The moment you mention UFO, immediately what comes to mind are little green men, tinfoil hats. That's not at all what we're dealing with.
In 2004, off the coast of California, an F-18 Super Hornet training exercise was suddenly interrupted by a call over the radio that would come to define Commander David Fravor's career.
You know, there's certain things in your life where you just remember in vivid detail what happened. And that's one of them, because it's honestly the strangest, most obscure thing I've ever seen flying.
Fravor, the commanding officer of the Navy Strike Fighter Squadron 41 and another F-18, scrambled to check out an unusual radar blip 80 miles off the coast.
So as we're looking around, the backseater in the other airplane comes up and says, "Hey, Skipper, do you see?" And before he says it, I'm like, "Dude, do you see that?" As soon as we look down, we see the whitewater, and then we see this little white tic-tac. It's pointing north-south, and it's just going forward, back, left, right.
It's just bouncing around?
Yeah, like a ping pong ball.
What was its shape? What was its, what did it look like it was made out of?
Like a perfectly smooth white tic-tac.
So that's the testimony of a man who was a highly decorated U.S. pilot for the fighter jets of the U.S. Navy. And there are dozens of testimonies just like that man. But that was 2004. How about last week? Last week, here's an article for you. Shock moment that a V-shaped UFO flies above an Airbus A230 passenger jet in a video filmed from the plane's cockpit. This extraordinary footage was captured from the cockpit at 39,000 feet by a sky-watching cabin crew member who was trying to take a snap of the Milky Way. And when they were trying to take a picture of the Milky Way, UFOs flew into the frame, and everything was captured on their iPhone 13 Pro Max. The flight attendant explained that he began trying to take a video of another aircraft flying just above us when he noticed the unusual object. As I was filming this aircraft fly over us, I noticed this glowing V-shaped object appear. It appears to be between us and the other aircraft. The awestruck mutterings of the airline crew can be faintly heard as they continue to watch the glimmering UFO. And all that was caught in high resolution on the man's brand new iPhone Pro 13. Chuck Missler made those comments about 15 years ago. The retired U.S. Navy commander was telling you about something that happened in 2004. And I just told you what happened last week. This is the time that we're living in, people. As Bible believers, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. I'm very, very glad that we had all the people listening today that we did. A lot of new people. And I appreciate each and every one of you for spending your afternoon with us. I invite you to join with us to hand out, 30,000 Bibles in 2022. I want you to pray for this ministry. If you believe that we're doing the Lord's work, if you believe that we're doing something valuable in these end times, I want you to pray about financially supporting this ministry. Not so we can build bigger offices, but so we can send out more Bibles and more books and more gospel tracts. Right now, we are supporting, through Bibles and gospel tracts, pastors and missionaries in 30 different countries. Last year, we sent out 11,411 King James Bibles. Just under 1,400 of those Bibles were Ruckman Reference Study Bibles. And it was only possible because you pray for this ministry and you financially support this ministry. Help us to do more. Pray and ask if God would put on your heart to be a financial supporter of the work that we're doing here at Now the End Begins. Because we can't do it without you. We can only do it together as the NTEB family of Bible believers. Now, before we close, nobody leave. Before we close, I want to pray again for our brother Hal, and I want to pray for Annetta. Because these two people have a very, very, very pressing need where things could go bad today, tomorrow, the next day. Now, I know every need is important. And at the start of the show, we prayed for everybody with COVID and people on ventilators and, absolutely. And I'm very happy to do that. But two names stand out specifically. Annetta and Hal. Lord, we ask you to do a work for Annetta and Hal. And Father God, Hal's situation is very critical, very crucial. Give him a healing, Lord, as only you can. Give him a touch, as only you can. And whatever you decide, Father God, we'll praise your name for it. But we ask, Lord, if it be possible, that you spare Brother Hal and give him a healing. And if it's your will to take him home, give him full confirmation of his faith, Lord, of his salvation, and carry him home on the arms of angels. But Lord, we are praying for a healing, and we're asking you to do that, Lord. But nevertheless, not our will, but your will be done. And we pray for Hal, and we pray for Annetta, whose kidneys are failing. Annetta is a good friend of mine, and I work with her. And she has had a very rough week, and hopefully she will give me an update soon. But she told me yesterday that her doctor told her that her kidneys are failing. So please, Father God, we commit Annetta and Hal to you. And we pray for Annetta's salvation. I'm not sure if she's saved or not. I think she might be. I hope she is. But if she's not, I want to cover those bases and pray for her salvation. And pray for Brother Hal with his lungs. Very serious. And please remember these two, especially during the week. And we commit all this to you, Father God, and we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody, so much for tuning in today. Thank you for being part of this very special broadcast. We were talking for the last half of a year about what we would do on day 666 of 15 days to flatten the curve. And God got the glory. Amen. And I hope this program was a blessing to you. Please remember to go to BibleBeliever.com and check out our amazing End Times bookstore, where the only Bible that we sell is the King James Bible, and we sell commentaries and study helps and gospel tracts. If you're a King James Bible believer, this is the place for you. BibleBeliever.com. Check it out. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. And remember, we're almost home.
Disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. When you start to believe you don't have what it takes, 'cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. Don't forget what lies ahead. Almost home, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run wild, run free. Hold up your head.
heaven to us. But make no mistake, there's still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be. Where